Well, good morning, Friendship. We are in week three of our seasonal series, Building a Life That Matters. Now, for those of you that are unaware, we typically do two services around here usually. So we have decided for this season and time, for this series that we're doing, we're going to do one service. And so we wanted to kind of be all together. And on top of that, we're also doing small groups that connect with these teachings that we're having so that you can discuss it, you can talk with other people, and you can kind of share what you're learning, but hear from them and really take allow these things to take root that we've been talking about and how to connect and how to grow and how to do those things. And today, we're going to talk about living your purpose. And one of the things that's really important when you think about building a life that matters, going, man, I want to have a life that matters. I want to have a life that is significant. I want to be able to do things that make a difference in this world. I want to be able to, when I leave this world, when I go from this place to the next, I want people to go, you know what? Their life made a difference. They did something. And the legacy of your life will live on. Not because, you know, you're great and you're wonderful, but because you lived according to your purpose. I absolutely love, there's a verse in the Old Testament about King David. And it says this, when King David died, he was placed in with the other rulers of the nation that had died. But he says this, he said, David lived his purpose for his generation, and then he died. You know what? I think there could be no greater epitaph on your tombstone than you lived your purpose, and then you died. And here's the thing that I take from that verse more than anything else. If you are still breathing, check, you know, mirror, whatever, just make sure, tap the person next to you if they're still breathing. If you're still breathing, God still has a purpose for your life. If you're still here, God has something to do through you. Because here's the thing, when your purpose is fulfilled, you die. That's it, you're done, you move on. That's the way I think that God has created this world to be. And here's the sad part. Most people live their entire lives without ever being able to substantially answer the question, why am I here? Why do I exist? We go through life. We fill our lives with a lot of busy things, with a lot of attitude, with a lot of action, with a lot of emotion, with a lot of calendar things, with a lot of agenda. Those of you that are spreadsheet people, you're like, man, you are speaking my love language, all these things, and spreading these things out. But you know what? Activity doesn't necessarily mean that you've accomplished anything great or that you've accomplished the purpose that you're here for. So here's what I want to do. I always share like the big idea. And if you miss everything else I say, at least you can connect and wrap your head around this. And hopefully, as you begin to think about that, some of the other things that we say that kind of highlight this whole big idea will come in and will begin to really take root in your heart. But here is really the simplest form, kind of boiling it down, of what we're going to be talking about today. And that's this. Your shape, and I want you to notice that they are all capital letters. So as you put it in your notes, do capital S, capital H, capital A, capital P, capital E, and I'll tell you why, because it's an acrostic. Your shape will lead you to your purpose. There's something beautiful that God has done in each and every one of us. God has created within each and every one of us a roadmap to our purpose. God has implanted, if it's easier for you to understand it this way, God has implanted within you DNA that will help you understand and reveal what your purpose in life is, why he created you the way that he created you. You go, well, yeah, but I've got issues. We all have issues. Some of those issues are part of the purpose that God has for your life. Some of the things that you've gone through are part of the purpose that God has for your life. Some of your struggles, some of your greatest experiences, and some of your worst moments are part of your shape that helps craft and create and lead you to your purpose. Because God has a purpose for your life. That shape acrostic is something that we've used. We stole it from really the Purpose-Driven Life. Rick Warren wrote it several years ago, but it's so fantastic when you think about it. It stands for these things, S-H-A-P-E, your spiritual gift. Your spiritual gift, and we'll talk about that this morning, your spiritual gift, what God gives you at the point of salvation to be able to help edify, grow the church of Jesus Christ. That's what the spiritual gift is. Your heart, what you love to do, what you get passionate about. I used to joke with my dad. My dad just turned 75. and he is retired. And in this year, he's going to do two long-term speaking engagements of 2 months each. He's going to fly to Israel and do another tour there. He's going to do, I mean, he's just all over the place. I used to joke with him that he would get excited at the smell of jet fuel. You ever met somebody like that? That man, they just like, oh, I love to travel. That was his heart, his passion. That's what he loved to do. And God used him and continues to use him in that way. A, your abilities. Your abilities, what are you good at? Like, I'm really good at Sudoku on my computer. It is the best. Solitaire, I am the king of solitaire. No, like, what are you good at? What are the things in life that you are just naturally good at? That's your abilities. P, your personality. Your personality. Do you know your personality has a lot to do with your purpose? It has a tremendous amount to do with your purpose. You know, if you are one of those people that everything has to be in order and there can be no chaos and everything's got to be in place, the likelihood of you working with kids is probably very, very low. Just think about that, okay? Yeah, if it, you know, like that. You know, you see kids like this, like if you're a germaphobe, probably not, you know, probably not a good. So your personality defines how you use your purpose. And then finally, your experiences, the things that you've gone through in life, the things that you've gone through and come out the other side, the things that maybe are joyful, maybe painful. Maybe things that were done to you or things that you did to yourself. All those experiences God uses to shape you so that you can understand what your purpose is. And so what we're going to do today is I'm going to ask five questions. Five questions that you can take, and hopefully as we're going through them today, your mind is going to begin to work. Your mind is going to begin to roll around these questions, because if you can answer and you begin to answer these five questions, you will begin to understand why you're here. You'll begin to understand your purpose in life, why God created you, why you're still breathing. You were not created just to exist. The Bible says that God created you to live a life of fullness. Jesus Christ in John 10:10 says, I have come that you might have life, and life in all of its fullness and all of its joy and all of its excitement, all of its adventure, ups and downs and rights and lefts and twists and turns. This is what God has created us for, to live in this life. And the reality is that most people don't ever experience that, because they don't ever discover what their purpose is, why they're here. And so my goal is this morning, as we go through these five questions, is to help you begin to discover what your shape is. It's not a mystery. It's really not. It's not something that you need to sit and you need to meditate and cross your legs in some weird way and have incense and, you know, oils. And I mean, I know some of you love the oils, but no, it nothing to do with that. It's just simply about asking questions, looking in and looking up. If you do that, you will be able to begin to move towards what your purpose is. And what's exciting and what's great is that even as you go through life, sometimes that purpose that God has is kind of more like a river than it is a stationary point. Because as you gain more experiences, how you use your purpose may change and may grow and may shape itself differently. So the first question, based on the spiritual gifts, is what am I gifted to do? What am I gifted to do? What am I gifted to do? Now, spiritual gifts are kind of something that people get kind of weird about. But the bottom line is spiritual gifts are this. This is the simplest definition I can give you of spiritual gifts. The Bible says that at the point of salvation, when you accept the gift of God the Father, which is the Son, Jesus Christ, you are implanted or infilled with the Holy Spirit, the third part, the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes in to seal you to the day of your redemption before Jesus Christ, he also brings with him at least one spiritual gift. Now, if you ever met somebody that says, I've got all the spiritual gifts, you can go, no, you don't, because humility is a spiritual gift. Okay? No, a spiritual gift is something that the Holy Spirit puts in you at that point of salvation that is not for your edification, that is not for you to feel good about yourself, it's not for you to brag about, it's for you to help the rest of the body of Christ be what they're supposed to be, okay? That's what it's for. That's why when somebody is a Christian and they're not attached to a local church, they cannot ever become all that God's called them to be. It's absolutely impossible. Well, I watch church on TV. That's great. That's for you. What do you do with your gift for the rest of the body of Christ. I have a blog. That's not a gift. Okay? So your gift is to be used to help the rest of the body of Christ. Look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 7. And as we read this, I want you to see how it's not just the Holy Spirit. It's all three parts of the Trinity working in you to help you develop and live out this spiritual gift. Okay, look at this. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the same is the source of all. There's God, the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord, referring to Jesus Christ. That's Yahweh, Lord. Jehovah is God, the Father. Yahweh is Lord. We see him in the Old Testament and the New Testament, referring to Jesus Christ. And this is God, God the Father, this would be Jehovah, works in different ways, but in the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can what? So we can help each other. Folks, let's just be honest. We need help. Can we all agree to that? Okay, we need help. And part of this whole journey of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ is to use the spiritual gift that God the Holy Spirit implants us with at the point of salvation to help each other out. You're like, I'm a mess. I can't help anybody. That may be part of your spiritual gift. To be able to let people help you. Until you can come out the other side and you can learn how to help others. See, that's what God's created us for. So what's your gift? You go, I have no idea. Well, there are all sorts of different gifts. They come from the same Spirit. They serve different parts in different ways for the glory of God. But every gift serves a purpose within the church to further Christ's message to the world. You say, well, what are the gifts? Well, you know what? I mean, honestly, the Bible lists certain gifts, but I don't know that it's limited to that. I don't know that just because it says a certain number that that's it, that's all that are there. And so you go, well, what about this? And what about this? Here's the thing. At the point of salvation, when the Holy Spirit came in and sealed you until the point of God's redemption when he calls you home, God put inside you a little ember. Something that as you begin to do things within the body of Christ, you can feel, and I say that with all sincerity, you can feel drawn to it. I mean, I don't know why, but I love being able to greet people on a Sunday morning. It's like the highlight of my day to shake people's hands who've just sneezed. It's the best thing in the world. Or man, I don't know why, but when I go and I change diapers, it is like, ah. Oh. Or when I talk with kids, or I get on their level, or when I hand out things, or when I come in clean, or when I, you know, whatever. Because here's what happens. How do I know my gift? You start doing things. And when you discover that there is something within you that's drawing you to doing it, you begin to do it more, and then you begin to work on it more and more and more, and guess what? You find out, hey, that was my gift. I didn't ask her, but I've shared it before, so I guess I'll do it. But our children's ministry director, Jamie Hampton, who is unbelievable, is she here this morning? Is she in here this morning? Is she here? Where? I can't. Who are you pointing to? There's nobody over there. What do you? There's an empty seat right here. I've told this story before. She's told it before. So if I get in trouble, then I'll apologize next week. But when we first came 12 years ago, I said to Jamie, you know what? I've seen you with kids. I really think that God's moving you in that direction. She's like, no. Quote, I hate kids. Quote. I said, well, hey, you know what? I said, we really need somebody. In the back of my mind, I'm going, man, she just doesn't know yet. And she one day worked with the small kids group, and she's like, man, that was kind of fun. And I'm like, I know. About 4 years later, she came on staff as our children's ministry director. She's been an unbelievable, but you know what? Sometimes other people see the gift in you before you see the gift in you. That's part of the work of the church. working together to help each other become all that we've called, God's called us to be. And see, that's a spiritual gift. I know that's a spiritual gift. And so that's what God's called us to do. So ask the question, what's my gift? How do you figure it out? Well, you start trying things. You start checking things out. You go, no, that's not me. Okay, that's not your gift. Move to something else. I love serving coffee. Great. You serve coffee like, this stinks. It makes me want to vomit. Okay, probably not the area where you should serve. So that's how you figure it out. So the first question is, what's my gift? The second question is this. What do I love doing? Now, this is not limited to the church, by the way. What do I love doing? It's about your abilities. What do you, or your heart, excuse me, your passions. What do I love doing? There are certain things that everybody loves to do. Maybe you love to be able to create or craft. Maybe you love to work with your hands. Maybe you love to read. Maybe you love to create. Maybe you love to design. Maybe you love to lead. Maybe you love, whatever the case may be, what do you love doing? What do you like? Get excited when you hear that something's coming down the stream that you can get involved in, and it is like, oh, this is so exciting, I can't wait for it. What do you love doing? That's what God has put in your heart. God has literally placed that within you to push you towards your purpose. You go, well, I thought, you know, being a Christian was supposed to be miserable. No. I mean, yes, it's tough sometimes. I think we can all agree to that. Life's tough. Life's terrible sometimes. But the reality is that when you're following your purpose, you can be in the middle of a hailstorm that's followed by a tornado and a hurricane and still be joyful because you're doing what God's created and crafted you to do. So you find what you love. So look at this. Psalms 37, 4 through 5 says this. Enjoy the Lord, and he will give you what your heart asks. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust him. He will act. You see, the world would love to throw a million things at you to distract you. I can categorically say, with clarity, God has not called you to do a million things. God has called you to do things for his glory, for your benefit, for the growth and the edification of the message of Jesus Christ in our world. He's called you to that. And there are specific parts that he's called you specifically to do. Not everyone can do everything, and not everyone should do everything. You're like, well, I don't want to do that. It's horrible, but I'm not going to ask somebody else to do that because it's horrible. Guess what? I have learned this the hard way. There is some weird person out there who loves doing this. And by you doing it and being miserable, you're robbing them from doing what they love to do. But here's what I love about this passage. It begins with, enjoy the Lord. Here's the key to finding what you love most. Start by enjoying your relationship with God. We talked about that last week. Start by loving God. And here's what's amazing. It begins with, enjoy the Lord. Then it says, then he takes over. Let me just kind of put this in a fashion that you can get. When we find our joy in God, then God makes it his responsibility to place in your life and to draw you and to bless you with what you love doing. When you place God first and you say, God, more than anything else, I'm going to enjoy my relationship with you, then God says, okay, now I'm going to make it my responsibility to bless you with what your heart desires. And oh, by the way, that desire of your heart was placed there by me when I crafted you in your mother's womb before your mother even knew she was pregnant. Because I've created you for a purpose. Your heart. What do you love to do? Number three. What talent and skills do I have? What talent, skills, and abilities do I have? There may be some things that you love to do that you are not talented at. Some of you may love to sing. And your favorite verse is make a joyful noise because that's what it is. And that's good. God's called us to sing. God's called us to rejoice. But you know what? The second or the third part of the question, the third part that we discover our shape is our abilities. What are we actually given the ability to do? What talents do we have? What do we naturally have an acumen, an ability to be able to pick up something and to be able to maybe work with it immediately? And you go, well, I don't know. You know, I mean, my dad did this and my mom did this. And so because of that, maybe I'm, no. There's certainly some chemistry, there's certainly some nature and biology and all that stuff in there, but I want you to see something that I think is so unbelievable, because not only does God give you spiritual gifts, but I also believe that God has given each of us certain abilities and talents that we don't necessarily just use for the church, but God can take those and harness them and use them as well. And I want you to see this because it's first shown to us in Exodus chapter 31. God is getting ready to build the tabernacle. And here all these people, these Israelites that come out of Exodus, or from the book of Exodus, and they've been in captivity for 400 years. They've been slaves. And God says, I want you to build this tabernacle. And I want specific things done. And so he says, he actually points out two different guys. Says, these are the guys that I have gifted to be able to do this. Look at this. Look, I have specifically chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, grandson of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. I have filled them with the Spirit of God, giving him great wisdom, ability, and expertise in all kinds of crafts. He is the original Pinterest guy, right there. He is a master craftsman, expert in working with gold and silver and bronze. He is skilled in engraving and mounting gemstones and in carving wood. He is a master at every craft. This is the guy that I have given the ability to do this, and everyone else is going to serve underneath him because this is the guy that I've given the ability to do this. What's your ability? What are your talents? What are your abilities? What are your skills? You say, well, I've got this skill, but it doesn't necessarily fit. Listen, if you have that skill, then it's a part of the way that God has shaped you. And it will help you lead you to your purpose, what God has for your life. So we begin with the question, what am I gifted at doing? Then we talk about what do I love doing? Then we ask the question, what are my natural skills and abilities? And then number four, what type of personality do I have? What type of personality do I have? We're going to just do a quick kind of quiz here, okay? So just participate, if you will, because I think it's important. I think it's cool to kind of see this. So I'm going to ask kind of where you fit, all right? Extrovert, introvert. An introvert, you're like, I don't want to raise my hand, but it's okay. Go ahead and do it anyways. And then those people that are like, it depends on the occasion, okay? I can't remember what the name of that is, but there's like this crossover that sometimes you're an introvert and sometimes you're an extrovert. So let's begin. We're going to make it easy. We're going to start with the extroverts. Extroverts are like, I'm going to stand there, you know. So if you're an extrovert, just raise your hands. If you say, you know what, I'm an extrovert. I've never met a stranger in my entire life. Okay, look around. See, you can see the extroverts. Now, what's amazing, watch this, because one part of the couple has their hand raised right now. Okay? So you're an extrovert. So put your hand down, okay? Now, if you say, no, I'm an introvert, you can just kind of do one of these things like this, okay? You can't even see the introverts. They're like, Now, if you're like one of those people that it depends on the occasion, let me see your hand, okay? Now, what's cool is that all of the introverts, you probably couldn't see them very well. I can see them a little bit better because they're like. It was literally about 30-30-30. I think that's an amazing thing. And by the way, I don't think that's by chance. God has created each of us with different personalities. That's just one tiny sliver of what your personality is like. One tiny sliver. And God has created us all different. And so because of that, this complexity of our personality has a distinct effect on what our purpose is. For example, let me just take teaching, okay? If you have the ability to stand in front of people and teach, that is more than likely because at least a part of your personality is extroverted. You don't have a problem being up in front of people and doing something. If, however, you have the ability to teach but you are an introvert, then more than likely how you will express that gift is through writing. Do you see the difference? The same gift, the same ability, but because of the personality, it's expressed differently. So it's very important to understand what your personality is like. And really, in the very beginning, the very first two boys, Cain and Abel, they had very different personalities. We see that. We fast forward a little bit further and we see another set of brothers, and these are actually twins. We see Jacob and Esau. And they as well had very different personalities. In fact, they had such different personalities that the Bible really put a highlight on that. We see this in the book of Genesis, chapter 25, verse 27. It says, as the boys grew up, Esau became a skillful hunter because he was an outdoorsman. It's really tough to be a skillful hunter if you don't like being outdoors. Think about that. You're like, well, I can shoot off my porch. So because he had a certain personality type and he gravitated towards a certain thing, then he became something that he could do in that environment. Now we see Jacob, and what's funny is that we read about Jacob later and we're like, man, you know, he was a tough guy. He was just, look at this. But Jacob had a quiet temperament. He was a mama's boy. It doesn't say that, but that's what it means. He preferred to stay at home. So Jacob learned what it meant to do the things in the house. He did those things. In fact, we see at one point in time that Jacob makes a stew that's so good that Esau comes home and he's so hungry that he smells this stew that Jacob has made and he's like, listen, I want some of that. And Jacob's like, let me tell you something. I will give you that if you give me your inheritance. Esau's an outdoors man. He's like, whatever, give me that. I know, I just marginalized there, yeah, because I love being outdoors, okay? I'm just not saying. I love it. But he just took it and he ate it. And so Esau's like, hang on a second, what did I just do? I'm going to kill you now. And so it's this whole thing. You can read about it in the book of Genesis. But so their personalities made all the difference. Your personality is not something that is by accident. Now, there are parts of your personality that you need to get under control. Don't ever, by the way, if you're ever talking to me, or probably one of my family, because they've heard it enough, and you go, well, I just can't help but, God has given you a spirit of power and of self-discipline. You can. Don't ever blame your weaknesses on your personality. If your personality is leading you to sin, it's not because your personality, it's because you are not strong enough and you're not relying on God enough to be able to control and direct your personality in the correct outlets in a way that honors God. So your personality makes all the difference. And finally, your experiences. What and how have my experiences changed me? How have my experiences changed me? God takes all of your life experiences, whether positive or painful, intentional or accidental, caused by you or caused by someone else, to shape you for His unique calling. The Bible, the Apostle Paul writes it this way in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. He says, and we know. Notice that he begins with, hey, I think this might be. No, he says, and we know. Without a shadow of a doubt, we know this to be true. If you want to know how he knows, read the first 27 verses of Romans chapter 8. Because he explains how we know. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. Now, this verse is often ripped out of context and used incorrectly, and so I want to just put it in the right context and use it correctly, hopefully this morning. This does not say everything in your life will turn out good. It doesn't say that. Neither does it say that every circumstance that you experience is good. It does not say that life will be easy. It does not say that life will be idyllic or peaceful. Rather, what it says is this. No matter what life throws at you, God can take it and use it to develop something good in you. That's what it says. For lack of a better way to understand it, God is the original creator. He created everything that we see out of nothing. He took nothing and created everything. To take the rough, difficult, hard parts of your past and shape them into something good, something that changes you towards your purpose, is not a difficult job for God. God is the master creator. He is the chief artisan. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says that you are God's masterpiece. For lack of a better way to think about it this way, that God is taking every difficult and painful decision and choice that you've had in your life, and every person that's hurt you, and every event that has been dangerous or difficult for you, and every positive thing, and every joyful thing, and he's placing them together in this beautiful collage, mosaic of things, and he's beginning to work it like clay. And as he works and mashes those things together and forms it in a particular way, he's creating and crafting it according to the purpose that he implanted in you when you were first born. Because God knows who you are. And he is taking all of those things, and he, at the end of all, can look at who you are and say, everything that has happened to you was purposeful. No experience was void of meaning. Not only does this verse say that God can take it all and make it all come out for his glory and your benefit, but God says not a single of it will be lost. I want to end this morning with reading a little phrase that Rick Warren wrote in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, because I think it's such a cool quote, if you will. It says, God can take the mess in your life and bring a message out of it. He can take the test in your life and create a testimony out of it. He can take a crisis and show Christ through it. God doesn't waste any experience that you have. God doesn't waste any experience that you have. This morning, my hope and my prayer has been that as we've gone through these five questions, you've allowed yourself to engage with them. And maybe you're beginning to realize why you seem to keep running against walls in life, because you're not living according to the purpose that God's created you, because you're doing things that don't fit who God's made you and crafted you to be. And my prayer most of all is that you will recognize that you are God's masterpiece. God is working on and in and through you to create something unbelievable with your life. But part of the process is recognizing that he is in control and you are not. And as you allow him to shape you, you'll begin to come closer and closer to your purpose. And as you move closer to your purpose, you will experience more and more fulfillment, peace, and joy that can be found only through Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you so much. We are absolutely honored that, God, you would choose to take everything in our life and use it for your glory and for our benefit. God, this morning as we've gone through these things and we've talked about what our gifts could be, how to discover them. We talked about our heart, our passions, what we love to do, our abilities, what are we good at, our personalities, what do we do, how do we do things, how do we think about things, what is our perspective on things, God, our experiences. But God, every part of who we are has been initially crafted and created by you. There's no mistakes. God, there's nothing in our life that is throwaway. There's nothing in our life that's trash. And God, there's no human being that's ever lived that isn't valuable. You told us so clearly in your word that your son Jesus Christ came to die for every man, woman, and child that's ever lived. And God, that places their value at invaluable, beyond all measure of worth. God, if there's anyone here today who was questioning their value, help them be reminded that God thought so highly of their worth that he paid the ultimate price, the price of his son. And that he is not finished with them. He has a purpose for them. He has a plan for them. And if they begin to work through the process of how you've shaped them, God, they will come closer and closer to understanding, grasping, and fulfilling their purpose in this life. God, we thank you for that. And we praise you. And we are honored and humbled to lift up our voices in honor of you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.